Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We need to talk about the elections. They're coming up. They're coming up quicker than we know. And the question is if the IEC will be able to deliver fair elections. Sunusha Naidu is a senior research associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue. She chats to us very often. Sunusha, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's going to be a bit of a crazy period, isn't it, as we head towards these elections?
Indeed. I mean, yesterday the CEO of the IEC was on one of the news stations, and the question he had to answer was how many millions of ballot papers have to be printed within a 14-day period.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And the number is close to 75 million. And that means you've got to make sure that close to 75 million ballot papers of different denotations.
Mm.
So you've got a ballot paper that's a PR ballot paper. You've got a district council ballot paper, particularly in rural areas where that is contested. And then, of course, you've got the normal ballot paper. So they've got a mammoth, if not a Herculean, task on their hands. And, of course, making sure you package it, send them to the right voting stations. Everybody's on track in what's happening. They're currently doing training of election officers. Normally that takes a month and a half. They're squeezing it in the time frame that they have until the 1st of November. They have to make sure that the ICE and the voting stations are secure. There's a whole lot of logistics that go into this, and I think that what we are seeing is a compression of time, as well as the fact that the IEC is going to try its utmost best to make sure that it delivers a free and fair election.
But that's incredibly difficult, because if people don't have ballot papers, or if there aren't enough, for example, that really does throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Under normal circumstances, and remembering that we are in unprecedented times, under normal circumstances, you do have these technical glitches. You do have logistical hiccups. I mean, there'll be ballot papers that may not arrive at the time at a voting station. Or we've heard in previous elections, particularly national and local government, sometimes ballot papers are being transported outside of the security agreed terms. You've got to have your election observers. You've got to have the person who's heading up, the election manager of that voting station. Sometimes people will find ballot boxes in their cars, at their homes. I mean, all of these things are not necessarily things that the IEC has not dealt with before. I don't know if you've ever been to the Results Operations Center in Pretoria, but when the IEC used to do their briefing on what the day was like, particularly what are some of the hiccups and some of the challenges and complaints and objections that have been raised. You got these technical glitches, you got these logistical glitches. I think this time around it's amplified because of the time frame.
Yeah, very, very scary. What's interesting as well to me is that the DA in this case seem to have called it quite well, because they've started campaigning. They've been out on the streets. They've been increasing their visibility as though this election was going to happen, where most people thought that it wasn't. What do you think? What's your reaction to that?
My reaction to that is you must always assume that things are going to continue as they are until you get that decision. So, yeah, the DA is out there. The ANC is still, kind of caught in its own structural crisis of sorts. And other political parties just find it a little bit more difficult in terms of the limited resources and being innovative. But I do think that political parties in general, including the DA, have to be more innovative in thinking out of the box when it comes to election campaigning. It's not the usual traditional approach and vertical approach where I have to go out and stand in front of a podium and dance, and then talk about the other opposition.
And it can be so embarrassing. It can be so embarrassing, that whole dancing thing.
Yeah, those are just, those are theatrics and gimmicks that you don't really need. You've got to be much more creative. You've got to talk and capture the imagination of the electorate. Now, whether or not you're going to be using social media. Social media has its limitations. Not everybody on social media actually follows political parties, and you especially on Twitter. And of course, there's also other issues that you have to consider as a political party. If you're going to target people on social media, you've got to deal with the privacy question. This is a new law coming out in terms of protecting people's privacy. WhatsApp has it, Twitter has it, and Facebook has also these ads that you can't put up because they may be construed as lobbying. And that, again, that goes back to U.S. legislation that actually mitigates against these kinds of activities on social media spaces. So there's, you can't rely only on social media. You can't only go out and put up a makeshift stage and have this talk and then, you know, say, I'm going to do the best and I'm going to do this. Those are all empty promises, because at the end of the day, the real challenge is you've got to get people out to vote and to register. And that's going to be a bigger of a mammoth task of all political parties. So I think this is not just a test in terms of whether the IEC is able to adapt to the changes and hold a free and fair election, how they adapt to what will be a pandemic coexisting with a pandemic world as we go forward. But it's also for political parties to not be so pedantic in their electoral strategy and to think much more creatively. Go back to basics. Use your community radios. Use your community newspapers.
Especially for local government. And that is where you can possibly make the biggest difference, because if, for example, the DA were to win back the city of Johannesburg, it's a significant, significant difference. And local government elections is exactly when that can happen.
Indeed. And I think the problem also is we can't keep talking about the ANC as being such a poorly constructed government. And given the fact that the ANC has at every turn been in a crisis, that's not going to win you the election. I think you and I and every other South African that has lived somewhere understands how poorly the ANC governs. We don't need the DA to tell us
that. Absolutely. It's such an interesting thing, because it's a focus on the positive and the future and almost selling a dream versus pointing out in a negative way the failures of your opposition. I think quite a poor strategy.
But that is our opposition around the world. I mean, I was having a conversation over the weekend with family that live in Edinburgh. And they were saying that that's how they've been conditioned. Opposition parties and the liberal democratic model has conditioned opposition parties and incumbents and others, as well as the electorate, to think in these very binary ways about if you want to get ahead, you've got to basically keep pitching your opposition about their weakness. Well, I think that's where the creativity is lost in terms of what this pandemic is forcing political parties to do, is to rethink strategy. And if you're going to rethink strategy, the strategy is not to tell the electorate what they already know. The rethinking of the strategy is going to say, how are you different to that? It's not saying, oh, I'm different because I'm going to create X amount of jobs, or I'm going to pay off the debt of the city of Joburg, in terms of the ESCOM debt, or I'm going to create jobs by doing X, Y, and Z. The problem I have with some of the election strategies that have been taken from, particularly the DA going to Johannesburg, is that when they go to Johannesburg, they talk as if they've had a completely successful model in the Western Cape. Not so. They still have serious spatial inequalities, serious service delivery weaknesses.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right. It's a fascinating one, and it'll be very, very interesting to see how the next few weeks plays out. Sanusha Naidoo, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue.